Good afternoon, 4:30 and 71 degrees in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Dan Conte.
And I'm Joshua Grandison.
We're losing some experience, but we've still got people in key positions to mentor and educate and give these guys the guidance they need.
Before the year is out, Ashland will lose another 7 firefighters with over 100 years of combined experience. But Chief Scott Penick says the force will be okay.
A gas leak at the University of Kentucky forces some evacuations.
And some capital improvements are slated this summer at the Paramount Arts Center.
In sports, the Reds are hoping their bats come alive soon. They've lost 7 of 8 since the All-Star break and are home tonight for Arizona.
Bud Luke has the stocks.
Cloudy and cooler this evening, lows in the mid-50s. The complete forecast is coming up, but first, this news.
Hundreds of students and staff were evacuated from the University of Kentucky's W.T. Young Library and surrounding residence halls due to a gas leak today. UK spokesman Carl Nathy told reporters this afternoon that a construction company backhoe ruptured a natural gas line on Hilltop Avenue near what will be the new Hagen Hall. Nathy says police and fire officials cordoned off a 500-foot perimeter while Columbia Gas workers repaired the leak.
When it spews into the air, it's very dangerous. You don't want to have anything ignite and have a potential explosion or anything like that. So that's why the precaution in the 500-foot perimeter.
Nathy says the gas leak did not force the cancellation of summer school classes, but did disrupt activities for a sizable area of campus. Officials gave the all-clear signal around 2:20 this afternoon.
WSAZ is reporting that an inmate who walked away from a work detail in Ashland Saturday was recaptured on Sunday. A Boyd County dispatcher says 26-year-old Charles Bocook was working near the Holy Family School when he wandered off. Bocook is now said to be back in custody in the Boyd County Detention Center.
A Southern Ohio prosecutor says a former Detroit police officer accused of leading a drug ring has waived extradition and will be sent from Georgia to Ohio in the next few days. Athens County prosecutor Keller Blackburn says Brandon Allen was arrested at the Atlanta airport last week on suspicion of trying to leave the country. Blackburn says Allen is accused of orchestrating a $3 million drug ring, selling illegal prescription painkillers in southeastern Ohio.
State Representative John Will Stacy says there's a disconnect between what constituents and health care providers are telling him about Kentucky's Medicaid Managed Care Program and information supplied by the state's Department of Medicaid Services. The West Liberty Democrat made the observation at a hearing in Frankfort last week, a day after he attended a forum in Moorhead on the financial challenges facing rural hospitals. Stacy says he rarely hears anything good about managed care.
If you go to one of these forums, you just hear criticism. There's very little good that's said, although I'm sure that there is some good that is being done. I'm not disputing that. But gosh, if you hear your presentation and you go to one of these forums anywhere in the state, it's just like night and day.
Kentucky's Commissioner of Medicaid Services concedes the implementation of managed care could have been handled better. However, Larry Kistner says the Commonwealth needed to save more than $1 billion annually on Medicaid, and switching from a fee for service to managed care was the way to do that.
Back in 2011, we had a problem that said we need to save $1.3 billion. How are we going to do that? And we quickly moved to managed care, and that was difficult. We didn't take enough time to, you know, we could have done it better. I think everybody acknowledged that. And pay the claims, educate the providers, get the contracts in place. A variety of things need to happen. Education, formularies, prior authorization lists. Healthcare is complex.
Kistner says claims under Medicaid managed care are denied about 8% of the time compared to less than 1% when Kentucky had a fee-for-service system. He's quick to add, there's an appeals process for claims that are rejected under managed care.
When Rowan County begins expected construction on its new detention center next year, it could also mean a new address for the county sheriff's department. Judge Executive Jim Nichols says the fiscal court has been discussing constructing a building for the Rowan Sheriff's Department as part of the overall jail project.
We talked about it from the very beginning that might be something that we could do to help the detention center when it's built, but also give the Sheriff's Department a little bit more room. They've expanded too, so you would leave the tax collection part of the Sheriff's Office where it's at in the courthouse.
Nichols says the law enforcement side of the Sheriff's Department doesn't have enough space in the Rowland Courthouse. He adds that finances will be the determining factor in the decision to possibly build a new Sheriff's Department office adjacent to the new 300-bed jail. County officials are expected to pick a site for that facility this fall.
Moorhead's new police chief is taking on a goal that is being left behind by the city's outgoing chief. Captain David Sexton hopes to one day have his department operating out of a new facility, something current Chief Mike Adams had also hoped to do. Sexton remains optimistic that goal will be realized sooner rather than later.
I know the mayor has actually been working on trying to find some sites suitable. Of course, money is a big issue, but hopefully here in the next few years, and I'd like to see it before I retire, we can get us a new building, new facility. I know they're talking maybe some kind of joint building between us and the fire department, so that'd be great if we can get that.
The Moorhead Police Department moved from the basement to the second floor of the former City Hall building in 2012. However, the 70-year-old building is showing its age and still has a mold problem in part of its basement. Sexton takes over as chief on Friday when Adams officially retires.
It's likely that before the end of next year, about 25% of Ashland's 56-member fire department will be composed of rookies. Seven new firefighters took the oath of office last week to replace those who've already retired, and Chief Scott Penick says seven more veterans are due to leave the force by the end of November. He says he's losing more than 100 years of experience, and that's always difficult.
Yeah, it is. I mean, if you look at, you know, we've just put seven out. We're getting ready, hopefully, with the commission approval that we'll hire seven more before the end of the year. We run a 14-man minimum shift with 16 scheduled, and you look at that 14 guys, 14 brand-new guys, that's an entire shift force.
However, Chief Panic says the department still has enough veterans to mentor the new hires, and Ashland should have a more seasoned and experienced force within a few years.
Ashland City Commissioner Cheryl Spriggs says the board should be able to make a quick decision on whether to change to angled parking on Winchester Avenue. Commissioners last week were urged to allow the switch by a group of business owners who say it would create more spaces and encourage additional commerce downtown. The consultant recommended the move several years ago in a report prepared for Ashland's Main Street program, but commissioners took no action. Spriggs believes there's a different mindset on the current commission.
Things have changed somewhat in a way you can do these kind of angle parking. There are some problems, but you know what? We can always change it back. We can always change it back. I'm all for trying new and innovative things, and I can't predict how the rest of them feel, but I get a sense that they're pretty positive about it.
Backers of angled parking claim it would increase the number of spaces on Winchester by 33%.
The head of Ashland's Main Street program is urging city commissioners to approve an ordinance that limits parking downtown to two-hour intervals and imposes stiff penalties on violators. Danny Craig is director of Ashland in Motion. He says the downtown merchants are being hurt by people he calls roosters, folks who work in the city and park all day in spaces that would be better reserved for shoppers. Craig concedes hefty fines are likely to be unpopular with roosters.
But they would also wouldn't want to do that again, you know. So let me find some other place to park, you know, and that would open up that spot. That would eliminate one more problem. Listen, downtowns, were not created for cars. They just weren't. So we've added cars to our downtown, and everybody has two or three nowadays. So we have to adjust and make room for this because this is the way people transport themselves around.
Craig says the downtown shops lose business when potential customers are unable to find parking.
Ironton voters are likely to decide in November on a flood protection levy. According to the Ironton Tribune, City Council has adopted a resolution to put a five-year, two-mill levy on the fall ballot. It would replace the current one-mill levy and generate more than $265,000 annually. It's now up to the Lawrence County Board of Elections to certify the issue for the November election.
According to the Maysville Ledger Independent, the Fleming County Board of Education is beginning interviews today for the vacant school superintendent's post. The story from MSPR's Samantha Morrill.
Through Wednesday, the board will talk with at least four finalists for the position. They were chosen from some 21 resumes of men and women from four states. Board members hope to make a decision on that group by the end of the week, whether that means naming one of them as new superintendent or conducting interviews with further candidates. The Fleming District's need for a new superintendent arose when Tom Price resigned during a May board meeting. His action came after the State Department of Education cited the Fleming County school system for having financial issues and poor leadership. Reporting for MSPR, I'm Samantha Morrill.
Good weather this growing season will mean a good crop of corn in Rowan County, according to one official. Bob Marsh is the Rowan County Agriculture Extension Agent, and he says that good temperatures and relatively milder weather, when compared to last year, have improved yields. While he can't predict the future, Marsh believes this means local corn prices may be lower.
Back in 2012, corn prices were about $8 a bushel. Last year, about $5. This year, about $4. You know, we operate on a big scale, a global scale, or at least there's more corn growers than just here in little old Kentucky. I would anticipate prices to be lower, right at $4 or lower.
Marsh says this is good news for consumers of corn, such as grocery shoppers and farmers that raise livestock that feed on the crop, but it may not be so good for corn farmers.
According to the website KentuckyGasPrices.com, the cost of regular unleaded fuel in the Commonwealth has dropped 36 cents over the past month. The average price in Kentucky today is listed at $3.40 a gallon. It's slightly higher in Moorhead, $3.46. Higher still in Grayson, where it's $3.68, but lower in Maysville and Mount Sterling. Gas is selling for $3.28 in the Mason County community and $3.21 in Montgomery County. The lowest price for gas in Kentucky today is in Carrollton, where it's $2.96. The highest is in Jeffersontown and Highlands. The price is $4.09 there.
The Paramount Arts Center in Ashland this summer will spend nearly $70,000 on capital improvements to its historic theater. That's the word from Executive Director Bruce Marquis. He says the work includes new lighting.
We are redoing all of the auditorium lighting, putting a dimmer module in there, and replacing over 200 bulbs in our historic lighting fixtures with LED bulbs, which will last 15 to 20 years and save a significant amount of electricity over that lifespan.
Marquis says the improvements to the 83-year-old structure will be finished before fall.
And finally this afternoon, Kentucky Parks Commissioner Elaine Walker says she has no plans to turn over the Perryville Civil War battlefield to the U.S. Park Service. Walker says some groups in Kentucky favor that idea, but she's not advocating it.
I don't see the park system pursuing it. Again, I know that there are local entities that are very interested in seeing that happen because I think they believe that it would tie into the national park system and give them greater exposure. As I said, we are not driving that bus.
Walker calls the Perryville site a jewel in Kentucky's park system. She testified last week before House and Senate members of the state legislature's budget committee.
Turning now to the weather forecast for the Moorhead State Public Radio listening area, including the counties of Elliott, Clark, and Nicholas. Tonight, mostly cloudy in the evening, then becoming partly cloudy, cooler with lows around 55 degrees. Tomorrow, mostly sunny with highs near 75. Tomorrow night, mostly clear, lows around 54. Wednesday, mostly sunny with highs around 77 degrees. Wednesday night, going into Thursday, mostly clear skies with lows in the upper 50s, highs in the lower 80s. And for Thursday night, going into Friday, partly cloudy with lows around 60 and highs around the lower 80s. Currently in Ashland, it's 72 degrees. It's 69 degrees in Flemingsburg. In Winchester, it's 70 degrees, and in Inez, Lexington, and right here in Moorhead, it is currently 71 degrees.
It is 4:44. You are listening to Mountain Edition on Moorhead State Public Radio. It's good to have you along on this Monday afternoon. The EPA is holding public hearings this week in four cities on the proposed Clean Power Plant rule. Several Kentuckians will be in Atlanta to put in their two cents on the issue of stricter carbon emission limits during a hearing there tomorrow. Greg Stottlemyre with the Kentucky News Connection reports.
Proposed carbon emission standards would cut carbon pollution in the power sector by 30% compared to 2005 levels. The new rules, which the EPA rolled out June 2nd, are controversial in Kentucky, one of the top coal-producing states in the nation. Despite the backlash here in the Bluegrass, Louisville Councilwoman Attica Scott is one Kentuckian who will be in Atlanta tomorrow to tell the EPA the rules are needed, both for people's health and the economy.
We've got to figure out a way to reduce carbon emissions, to create healthier communities, and, in fact, through that, to create more green jobs.
Scott has a coal-fired power plant in her district, and she says she hears a lot of concerns about it from her constituents. The EPA is holding hearings in four cities this week. The coal industry and many of Kentucky's political leaders claim it will devastate the state's economy, which leans on low-cost electricity from burning coal. Scott says the issue has become so politicized that we're missing the point.
We're not fighting coal. We're not going to battle against coal. This is about the people in the state of Kentucky who feel the effects of mountaintop removal. This is about people in Kentucky who feel the impact of us relying so heavily on coal.
Governor Steve Beshear has acknowledged that the proposed rules on existing power plants would recognize states like Kentucky that have long depended on coal and manufacturing. However, he says he's still extremely concerned that it does not provide adequate flexibility or attainable goals. Former coal miner Nick Mullins, who now lives in Berea, says Kentucky has to break its dependency on coal.
The only thing that's backing Kentucky up against the wall is legislators who are not actively pursuing a more diverse energy portfolio within the state.
According to the EPA, power plants are the largest source of carbon pollution in the U.S., accounting for roughly one-third of all domestic greenhouse gas emissions. Mullins says his main message to the EPA will be that limiting carbon emissions will help push the country toward energy efficiency. I'm Greg Stottlemyre reporting for Kentucky News Connection.
447, you are listening to Mountain Edition on Morehead State Public Radio. All things considered from NPR at 5 o'clock, and Jared has sports right after we take this time out.
Support for MSPR comes from the Kentucky Folk Art Center, presenting Beyond the Narrow Sky. On display through August 16th, the exhibit features rocking chairs by East Kentucky craftsman Chester Cornett. Funded through a grant from the National Endowment for the Arts, the exhibit is open Mondays through Saturdays from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. The Kentucky Folk Arts Center is a cultural, educational, and economic development service of Morehead State University.
Everyone who loves the Cincinnati Reds are praying the tides will change starting tonight. Good evening, reporting for Morehead State Public Radio. I'm Jared Wesley. Still looking to regain their winning touch, the Cincinnati Reds are back at Great American Ballpark tonight at 7:10 to start a series against Arizona. The Red Legs have struggled since the All-Star break, losing 8 of 9 games. Skipper Brian Price says much of the blame rests with his team's AWOL offense, which has produced less than 2 runs a game during the tough stretch.
We got to get our guys feeling good about what they're doing again offensively, and we had a real good approach going into the break. It hasn't been quite as good, and they're working hard. Guys care. You know, guys, it matters to these guys. They're not going through the motions. We just don't have a lot to show for the effort, and it'll turn. It's frustrating that it hasn't, but it will.
The Reds start the day at 52-52, and 6 games behind first place Milwaukee in the NL Central. They are 4.5 games back in the wild card race. 8-5 Homer Bailey takes the mound for Cincinnati tonight. The Diamondbacks will pitch 6-4 Chase Anderson. Just one afternoon game in the MLB today, and it was at Turner Field in Atlanta. The Braves beat the Padres 2-0 in 9 innings. The win put the Braves at 58-48 overall and 1 game out of first place in the National League East. The Lexington Legends will be partaking in a doubleheader tonight at Whitaker Bank Ballpark. Beginning at 5:05 tonight, the Legends will welcome in the Nats of Savannah for Game 1. Right-hander Matt Alvarez will take the hill tonight for Lexington, sporting a 5.52 ERA. Alvarez will be searching for his 5th win of the season. Game 2 of the doubleheader will take place directly after the first. Alec Thomas Mills will get the start on the mound for the Legends in that game. Thomas Mills holds a desirable 1.8 ERA and has 2 wins on the season. The Legends are 13-23, and they are in fifth place in the South Atlantic League standings. Rowan County football coach Ray Graham remains confident the Vikings can learn the new offensive and defensive schemes that he's in the process of installing. Graham says the key for getting that job done will be the attitude that his players take in approaching that challenge.
Most of this thing is really mental. You know, most of it, you talk about the emotional side of things and the mental side of things, the focus, the attitude, you know, that you have toward what you're doing. You know, that there has to be a buy-in mentally and emotionally with the young people of what we're doing, that it's the best thing that we can do for ourselves and that we are going to be a team.
The Vikings start full contact drills on Friday. Graham is working on putting in his wing tee offense and his 50 slant defense. Mason County football coach David Buchanan likes the makeup of his 2014 squad. Buchanan says the Royals have plenty of seasoned veterans coming back from last year's 12-1 group that scored an average of nearly 40 points per game. Along with having a lot of talent, he believes his team will have plenty of character as well.
You know, in particular, I really do like our senior class. They've got a lot of experience. They've been through some rough times from their freshman to their sophomore year. We were in a 7-game losing streak. And then since that time, I think we've won like 21 out of 23 ball games. So, you know, they really have. They've been through a lot, and, you know, they're pretty well battle-tested.
Mason County starts this season by hosting Newport on August the 22nd. A highly touted junior college wide receiver is on the recruiting radar for the Kentucky football team. MSPR's Zachary Zenviski has the story.
Darian Landry caught 45 passes for 766 yards and 5 touchdowns last season for Blinn College in Texas, leading the team in all three categories. The 6'3", 195-pound Landry will name his next school sometime during the course of the 2014 season. Landry called UK the frontrunner for his services. His list also includes Illinois, UAB, and Utah. Landry plans to take some extra classes so he can graduate from Blinn this winter and enroll at the four-year school of his choice in January, which will allow him to go through spring practice. The Texas native hasn't taken any visits yet, but plans to be in Lexington on September 27th when the Wildcats face off against Vanderbilt. Reporting for Morehead State Public Radio Sports, I'm Zachary Sinviski.
Never one to back down to a challenge, new Louisville football coach Bobby Petrino likes that his Cardinals have that same attitude as well. The UofL squad is joining the ACC this fall, and that means they'll get a shot at defending national champion Florida State. Petrino says they won't be intimidated by the Seminoles.
Our players are a group of guys that know how to win games. You know, they know how to prepare to win games. And they have a lot of confidence, so we just have to do a good job in making sure we put in the hard work that allows you to perform real well.
The Cards will entertain Florida State on October 30th. Their season opener is scheduled for September the 1st against Miami at Papa John's Cardinal Stadium. Preseason practices continue at Paul Brown Stadium for the Cincinnati Bengals. The team's offense is continuing to adapt to new coordinator Hugh Jackson's high tempo and often no-huddle attack. Second-year tight end Tyler Eifert admits that's not only been challenging mentally, but physically as well.
Yeah, I mean, when we left after the spring, you know, Coach, he made it clear, you know, you better come back in shape because, you know, we're going to be running around quite a bit out there. So, you know, it hasn't been too bad. We've definitely been doing quite a bit of running and, you know, with the no huddle and things like that. But, you know, it hasn't been too bad.
The Bengals are getting ready for the preseason opener, which comes August 7th against the Kansas City Chiefs. Finally tonight, many people are questioning NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell's reasoning behind giving Baltimore Ravens running back Ray Rice a suspension of just 2 games. The suspension came after the 27-year-old Rice struck his then-fiancée Janae Palmer unconscious. NFL Senior President Adolfo Birch talked a little bit about the league's decision.
I think that were he not an NFL player, I don't know that he would have received any punishment from any other source. And so, on balance, when we reviewed all the materials, the information, took the input of the Players Association, we believe that the discipline that we issued is appropriate.
Rice will play his first game on week 3 when the Ravens travel to the Dog Pound in Cleveland. That will do it for sports tonight. Reporting for Morehead State Public Radio, I'm Jared Wesley.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics online at msueagles.com. Season tickets are now available for the Moorhead State football, soccer, and volleyball teams. Advanced single game and group tickets are also available for football. Single game tickets for soccer and volleyball will be available on game days. For more information from the MSU Eagle Ticket Office, you can call 783-2386 or you can go online at msueagles.com.
Good afternoon from the National Offices of Hilliard Lyons. This is Bud Luke with your closing stock market report for MSU Public Radio. U.S. stocks were a little moved today, with the Dow Industrials coming back from a one-month low as investors looked at economic reports, earnings, and the Federal Reserve's midweek policy decision. At the close, the Dow showing a small gain of 22.02 at 16,982.59. The S&P 500 was up 0.57 at 1978.91. The NASDAQ composite was down 4.65 to finish at 4444.91. New York Stock Exchange breadth was actually 17 to 13 in favor of losing stocks over winners. Dollar Tree rose after saying it would acquire rival Family Dollar Stores. Zillow fell after saying it would acquire rival online real estate site Trulia for $3.5 billion in cash and stock. Tesla Motors jumped after the Nikkei newspaper reported the electric car maker and Panasonic had reached an accord for the latter to invest in a U.S. battery factory. The dollar edged lower against other global currencies, while the 10-year Treasury yield gained 2 basis points to finish at 2.48%. Gold futures held steady at $1,303.30 an ounce, while crude oil futures fell 42 cents, finishing at $101.67 a barrel. The National Association of Realtors had pending home sales down 1.1% for the month of June. And, of course, this week the Fed's next policy move should come at the end of a two-day session on Wednesday, and the central bank is expected to cut its monthly asset purchases another $10 billion down to $25 billion on a monthly basis. Turning now to individual stocks, it was Ashland Incorporated up 59 cents at 108.56. CSX down 27 cents at 30.73, AEP up $1.43 at 54.65, AK Steel down 22 cents at 8.77, Marathon Petroleum down 79 cents at 77.79, and Kroger was down 58 cents to finish at 50.13. Reporting for MSU Public Radio, this is Bud Luke from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons.
And now for a second look at the weather forecast for the Moorhead State Public Radio listening area, which includes the cities of Carlisle, Flemingsburg, and Hillsboro. Tonight, mostly cloudy in the evening, then becoming partly cloudy, cooler temperatures with lows around 54 degrees. Tomorrow, mostly sunny with highs around 77 degrees. Tomorrow night, mostly clear with lows around 54 again. Wednesday, mostly sunny with highs in the upper 70s. Wednesday night and going into Thursday, mostly clear skies, lows in the upper 50s. Highs in the lower 80s. Thursday night and Friday, partly cloudy, lows around 60 and highs around 84. Friday night, mostly cloudy with lows in the lower 60s. For the rest of your weekend, expect partly sunny skies with a 40% chance of showers on Saturday, highs around 83. Saturday night, mostly cloudy with lows around 63 degrees. And for Sunday, partly sunny skies with a 30% chance of showers, highs in the lower 80s. Taking a look at the temperatures in our listening area, it's 72 degrees in Ashland, it's 69 degrees in Flemingsburg, 70 degrees in Winchester, and in Inez, Lexington, and right here in Moorhead, it's currently 71 degrees.
And that brings the curtain down on Mountain Edition this afternoon. We had help from Chuck Meraz, Mike Williams, Shelby Steele, Jared Wesley, Samantha Morrill, and Zach Senbisky. From the Kentucky News Connection, Greg Stottlemyer. This is Moorhead State Public Radio, WMKY Moorhead, and translator W202BH Inez. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. For Joshua Grandison and all of the MSPR News team, I'm Dan Conte, Moorhead State Public Radio News. All Things Considered is next. It's 5 o'clock.